Hello and welcome to The Short Squeeze, a podcast about what's happening in financial markets in the coming week. I'm Lucy Battersby, editor of Markets Live, a daily live blog on the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age websites. This week we're being recorded remotely as much as our offices are working from home. We'll discuss what the Reserve Bank has done so far to help Australia's economy through an extraordinary and unprecedented disruption. We'll look at some people who are making money during this crisis. We revisit the oil prices and whether or not it could hold a key to some stability in the markets. And we discuss the psychological impacts of living through a crisis. Today, I'm joined by IG Markets analyst Kyle Rodder. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
So last week, the Reserve Bank finally joined other central banks around the world in holding an out-of-cycle meeting to cut the target cash rate to emergency levels. Governor Philip Lowe talked about building a bridge for the economy to get over this crisis. Do you think they're building a very stable bridge?
Well, I think what we can take away from what the RBA has done and what central bankers and fiscal policymakers are doing right now is just throwing everything at the problem and hoping something actually works. I don't think anyone has a great idea as to whether it's going to be particularly successful or what the success of the policies will be. But they have said that they have no limit, effectively, in terms of what they're wanting to do. So this is the RBA's moment to try and reassure markets, not necessarily give any certainty about the future, but it shows that they are going to do whatever it takes to try and tackle this issue.
So they did mention a couple of specific things. One is that they're going to start buying three-year government bonds to try and reduce the yield from 0.45% to 0.25%. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact does a move like that have on the economy? Why would that make any difference?
Well, this is a really interesting one, actually, because for starters, going into the actual meeting, market participants were pricing in a quantitative easing program. Now, there's always a debate in terms of what's QE and what's not QE, but the governor was pretty careful to say that this isn't a QE program, that this is a yield control program, and that they're not wanting to boost the supply of money into financial markets and into the economy per se, but they're actually trying to control the price levels or the interest rates that are provided in financial markets through this yield control. And I think that's crucial because, one, it's not a very financial market-friendly response, as we saw in the ASX 200 last week, but it's very much designed and targeted for households and businesses rather than financial markets themselves to try and keep short-term rates low to make sure that through this kind of short-term impact, as the RBA sees it, that rates remain low, that credit remains available, but you don't have these complications down the line with maybe inflated asset prices or a big property bubble at the end of all of this when we come through it. So it's a very, very interesting and targeted response from the RBA, one that actually is very, very different from some of the other responses we've seen, at least so far, from other global central bankers.
And just so people realise, they're also making $90 billion available at low rates to the banks. So that means the banks don't have to freak out about going into the wholesale market. They know that they've got the funding that they need there. And they've also announced a $60 billion swap line with the Federal Reserve to provide US dollars in exchange for Australian dollars. Who's that supposed to help? Do you know?
That's supposed to help everyone. That's supposed to make sure that dollar liquidity across the globe is supported. And that's one of the big concerns at the moment for market participants, is that there's a shortage of dollars. These are all sort of steps to try and make sure that with a global economy and financial system that's, you know, obviously pinned to the US dollar in effect, that we don't see some kind of funding crisis in dollar markets. So that's to make sure that the whole system everywhere is running smoothly. The Fed's trying very hard to maintain dollar liquidity.
Okay, thanks, Kyle. Okay, and we're going to have a look now at who might be benefiting or making some money out of this crisis. It might sound a little bit thoughtless, but investing is supposed to be emotionless. We're looking at predictions of a 3.5% contraction in the economy this year. There are some people who use particular financial products, for example, options traders. I spoke to one last week who's been making a lot of money because the premium on put options, which is the promise to buy shares at a lower price, they have increased fivefold in recent weeks. So as the price keeps falling, the amount of money they're going to get just for agreeing to buy that share has gone up significantly. Mm-hmm. And traders who also profit off volatility options are making quite a bit of money. Kyle, have you heard of any fund managers or seen any very clever trades?
Well, I mean, for us personally, I mean, IG Markets provides a retail platform effectively to go long and short on markets. So there's certainly people who have benefited from this particular dynamic. You've got perma bears that you can hear, you know, have been speaking and touting how unsustainable the financial system's been for the last 10 years, really starting to lick their lips. But I mean, in terms of our client base, we were seeing very, very short positions in the market when we started hitting those February highs. It tends to be a quirky thing that retail traders do, that they try and pick the highs and lows. And just in this particular instance, a lot of our traders found themselves on the right side of the market when it fell because they were so short. So it's always devastating to see this kind of destruction of capital that we're seeing now in financial markets, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the opportunities disappear. It doesn't mean there's not necessarily winners out there too making money out of this situation.
There was a super fund, UniSuper, last week that said it was going to stop lending out stocks for short sellers. But they didn't get many people to follow them. There was one other, the Motor Trades Association Super Fund. Yeah. We haven't been able to find any other super funds, certainly none of the big ones. And short sellers, people who do genuine short selling, seem to borrow a lot of their stock from offshore institutions. So Australian super funds wouldn't really have that much impact on slowing down short selling on the Australian market.
No, and it's a huge debate too. Obviously, being someone who's sympathetic to short selling myself, there's probably a bias to claim there. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the bans on short selling or restricting short selling is a sensible thing to do in financial markets, particularly things if markets don't behave efficiently or aren't operating efficiently. But by the same token, it does ease a lot of pressures on liquidity in the markets, and it does provide two-way pricing at times when it's very, very risky and very, very difficult to be able to get in and out of markets. So we're seeing right now a lot of conversation about what role short selling plays in financial markets. But by halting it or restricting it, obviously there's avenues for traders to go elsewhere to be able to do that. But at the same time, it obviously creates all sorts of risks in the system as well.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see if the regulators bring in any more rules.
I'll be certainly waiting for it.
IG is a world-leading online trading provider, giving traders access to over 16,000 global financial markets on our award-winning platforms. With over 45 years of experience, you can trade with confidence when with IG. Visit ig.com.au for more information. All trading involves risks. Issued by IG Markets Limited, AFSL 220440.
Welcome back. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about oil prices after OPEC had a meeting and Saudi Arabia and Russia had a bit of a disagreement over whether or not OPEC plus Russia should restrict oil production to increase prices. And Saudi Arabia responded by starting to sell oil lower, and that created an immediate oil crash, which is been adding to the volatility in the markets. WTI crude is now down around $20 and futures are falling again. There doesn't seem to be any bottom to this, particularly as some of the big oil users around the world, such as airlines, have stopped flying so many planes. But Kyle, could we get some relief if oil prices did stabilise, and how could that happen?
We would see a marginal benefit to the market from that, most definitely. So effectively, over the weekend, the oil price, or on Friday, the oil price dropped again by around 12 and a bit percent. We saw a 24% fall, actually, a few days before that. And it's effectively, we saw the Saudis maybe put in a little olive branch out to the Russians over the weekend to suggest that they'd be willing to come back to the table. And the Russians said, turned around and said, no, thank you. That caused the oil price to fall again. And the significance of that, we were talking about it a few weeks ago, obviously, is that the real concern right now is about US shale and its profitability in a time of both a demand and supply shock in global energy markets. US shale requires a break-even. It's estimated around $50 per barrel to be cash flow positive. That's their break-even in terms of the oil price. These companies are highly leveraged. And they make up a high amount of the high-yield debt market. We're seeing credit spreads blow out right now because of the impacts to global growth of the coronavirus. We're also seeing that impact of lower oil prices also show credit push credits spreads wider in US energy sector junk bonds. So if one of those blow up, you can see a complete contagion effect through financial markets. And that's what's causing a lot of the stock volatility that we're seeing right now, the very high level of a financial crisis in the market. So although if we saw the Saudis and the Russians come back to the table, it wouldn't solve all the issues of the world in financial markets right now, but it would certainly remove some of the risks to the credit market if we did see an agreement between the Russians and Saudis to push oil prices a little higher and support some of these companies who are suffering.
Yeah, that would make life a lot easier for the central banks.
Absolutely.
Another thing that has been interesting is the psychology of what we've been seeing going on around here.
Yes.
Where there's the panic buying, there's also the panics in the markets and people losing the value of their investments. I mean, Australia's stock market hadn't had a serious slump for 12 years, and until recently it was more of a fear of missing out on the growth than anything else, or regretting not picking up Fortescue shares at only $4 a piece.
Yeah.
There's not really any way to calm people's nerves, but, you know, there's just the old saying, it's time in the market, and hopefully people who are living off their super had a fair bit in cash. There were some stats that about a quarter of the self-managed super sector was actually in cash.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a complete inverse of the kind of market behaviour that was, you know, raging only a month ago. It went from fear of missing out now to fear of not getting out effectively. And I think that you can, you know, in our Australian experience, you can very much draw the parallels in terms of market psychology with what's happened in the toilet paper crisis in the last 3 or 4 weeks, is that irrational circumstances force rational people to do irrational things. And it's effectively that if I think, for example, you are holding an asset that you're immediately going to sell soon, and then that's going to cause that asset price to fall, well, I'm going to try and preempt you in selling my asset or the same asset to be able to get out before I sustain those losses. Now, when everyone's looking at each other and doing the same things, going, well, I'll sell because they're going to sell, and that person's going to say, well, I'm going to sell because that person's going to sell, it causes this vicious cycle. George Soros, in his book after the GFC, called it reflexivity, where everyone starts reacting irrationally to the irrational behavior of everybody else. And I think that's a large part of what we're seeing right now. It's an outright panic, and everyone's selling everything that they can on the expectation that everyone else is preparing to sell everything that they've got as well.
Just on the toilet paper, I was reading a book about East Germany recently, and there are a couple of comments that struck me as particularly relevant to what we're seeing going on in the supermarkets. When the wall was up, people would queue at the supermarket, and even though supplies were common, their delivery was inconsistent.
Right.
And so people bought items whenever they saw them, not when they needed them.
Right.
So if you saw, you know, toilet paper, you'd buy it, not because you were out of toilet paper, but because you didn't know when you would see it again.
Right.
And so it led to people stockpiling amounts at home. So it is a symptom of a broken market and an inefficient market.
Right.
It is just a human reaction to that.
Yes. And no one's in sight, unfortunately. So we'll have to hold on to our hats for a little while longer.
Just on the topic of psychology, we wanted to make a public service announcement. Can everyone please stay home?
Yes.
Everyone of all ages, the young people, the old people, don't socialise.
Yeah, stay indoors.
Get someone to help you set up video phone calls if because you will get lonely, and the video phone calls make a big difference. This has been The Short Squeeze, a podcast produced by The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with IG Markets. You can follow daily stock market news on our live blog, and feel free to subscribe to the podcast on your podcast platform. You can catch us again, working from home, next week.